B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute. These guys, oh my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It ain't nothing I want more. Ain't nothing I want more. I told you when I first came here, I said, I ain't come here to waste my time. You know what I'm here for.
Back on top, punching the clock, clutching sanity. I got more cribs than Habitat for
What's
Humanity.
This?
It's profound, we propagating more profanity. Paid our collection.
I didn't load it in. Who is this?
I didn't load it in. I don't know. All I know is I'm in hysterics because I tuned in to watch the Ryan Seacrest and Kelly Ripa show. And I don't know who is sitting next to Kelly Ripa, but it's some guy with no shirt on who's super muscular. Wait a second, that's Ryan Seacrest wearing a muscle shirt.
There you go.
Ooh, it's Hunk Week, apparently.
Oh,
yeah,
look
at that.
He's wearing what he's got on there is a muscle man costume. And he's sitting there like, what do you want out of me? I got a muscle man costume on. It's fun. I mean, they have a lot of laughs, which is why I want to do TV again. I want to be able to put on costumes and have fun. But I mean, he gets to do it all. The amount of preparation for that show must be something. Ted Johnson, you want to be Ted Johnson and have Billy Lanny write your obituary too, Ted, because this is something else. He wants me to say Ted Johnson, 3-time Super Bowl winner.
Oh, he made me do that too when I hosted shows with him over the summer. 3 times. Oh, no, it was Joe Murray who was defending the wall. You got to introduce him this way.
3-time right, Super Bowl winner.
Dude, I'd have that tattooed on my forehead.
No, but Ted didn't write it. But Ted didn't write this. Lanny did. 3-time Super Bowl winner.
Thank you, Billy. Thank you. I think everybody, if you at this point, I think everybody kind of knows. I'm a 3-time Super Bowl.
That was a flex. That was good. And everyone knows how good I was.
And close friends with that one MILF porn chick.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There he is.
Well, saying,
is
right?
That a question? Or are you just?
That was Lisa. No,
it was a statement of fact.
Yeah.
All right. You don't hear about her too much anymore, but I think she left the industry. All right. New England Patriots. You know him. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. But Ted, thank you so much for joining us. It is a pleasure because we had Joe Murray was on yesterday, and he was like, because you do a show now on Sundays, I believe, with Joe Murray, and.
Yep. Sundays are 8 to 10. Yep.
Okay, so Ernie Adams retired. And or whatever happened with Ernie Adams. He's supposedly no longer working for the Patriots, and Rich and I have both been fascinated by Ernie Adams because it's weird. I mean, the whole thing's weird. Like the idea that there's someone just hanging around that no one really and that won't say what he does. It's so annoying. The Patriots are so annoying. And like they won't say what he does and all this, but do you know the guy? What do you know about Ernie Adams?
Yeah, no, I didn't. It was funny when Joe and I were talking about what we were going to, you know, what we wanted to address during the show. Is just obviously Ernie Adams came up because of the news. You know, Bill Belichick made it a point to acknowledge Ernie Adams that he was going to be done with the Patriots, and you know, after whatever 20 years of service here. And just kind of went through his credentials and what he's meant to Bill and everything. And I said, hey, Joe, I'm willing to talk about Ernie, I guess. But I don't know what there really is to say about him because it used to be a joke, guys. When I was, you know, playing in the early 2000s, my last year was 2005. But Ernie came on with Bill in 2000. And none of us knew who he was. And I remember rookies would do these skits where they would take film of Ernie on the field. And it's funny because Ernie always kind of looked like a guy that was, you know, in disguise when he wasn't, you know, with a wig. And that's what Ernie looks like. I mean, he's got this, you know, kind of fro hair and this, you know, big mustache that you see from the 70s, a porn mustache. It didn't look like anybody that was in, you know, in the 21st century. And so it was just became a joke with the rookies. Like, who is this guy? What does he do? And that was really kind of, you know, what it was when he first got there in 2000. And I'll be honest, guys, when I left in 2005, I really didn't know much more of what he did. It was never more clear for me later on. Now, you have to kind of, you know, after a while, you just kind of think, okay, this is really what he is. And there's, you know, whispers and there, you know, guys would talk about what we think he did. And I think at the end of the day, you know, it was – couple things. You know, I think he was really much one of the first analytical guys, and Bill Belichick was one of the first analytical guys, I think, in the game of football. You know, in baseball, we always talk about analytics, but Bill really was one of the first guys, and I think Ernie Adams, we think, was one of the, those two guys were some of the first kind of pioneers in the game of football to quantify the game, the player's impact. And we all thought that maybe he helped Bill navigate his way through a game, whether it was, you know, in-game decisions, whether to call a challenge there or whether or not to go for it on fourth and one. The odds doing this versus that in-game was kind of what we all thought Ernie's really biggest role was with for Bill. But then the other thing was we always thought it was kind of more the information gatherer, if you will, kind of a, from a kind of a clandestine type of way. And so we really didn't know what exactly he did. And so whenever it came to talking about Ernie Adams on the show last Sunday, I was like, I don't really know what to say, because I don't really know what he brought to the table other than what Bill has said about him through the years. And so Ernie, I've never seen him coach. I've never seen him talk to anybody. I've never seen him talk to another coach other than Bill Belichick. And so I don't really know what his impact was. And there's a lot of articles, and we were talking a lot about it last week. And so I just said, Joe, if we talk about him, I don't really know what to say about this guy, because I really don't know from any tangible standpoint really what it is he brought to the table. Just those two things, the analytics and really kind of being, you know, Bill's, you know, guy behind the scenes to gather information, scouting guys, and a lot of people would even maybe kind of presume he was a guy that was helping Bill, if you want to say the word cheat or gain an advantage or push the envelope.
He was
all
a professional cheater is what you're
right.
saying.
Like what could someone like Ernie Adams figure out that would help someone cheat?
I don't know. No, I don't know if he was helping anybody cheat. I think he was. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Well, You know, I'll give you an example. You know, everybody talks about the Super Bowl against the Seattle Seahawks, and where's Pete Carroll, right? I mean, it was in the documentary, you know, Do Your Job, or whatever it was. I don't remember what it was. They were recapping that game, and Bill wanted to know where Pete Carroll was on the sideline, right? You know, at the very end of the game. And that was information. I think that's the kind of stuff that Ernie tells Bill. I know for a fact, and I've – you know, Ernie's the kind of guy that is in Bill's ear in critical points in the game, whether it doesn't matter if it's a fourth and one, the game's on the line, any kind of in-game, big game management type things, Ernie is on the headset. And what he's telling Bill, I have no idea. But he's the kind – the feeling was that we got was that Ernie was the guy that just did all the behind-the-scenes gathering information, trying to scout, trying to maybe – do things that maybe wasn't above board to help Bill get an advantage and help maybe us get an advantage. That was the feeling we got. And so it's hard to really talk about a guy when
he knows where
really,
the bodies are buried. Just,
right,
that's,
right.
That sounds
that,
like
that was the
guy.
Assumption, Rich. That's the assumption.
Right. Like he seems like literally the only person in that organization that Bill would trust 100%.
No doubt.
Okay, so no doubt. How unsettling is it then, you being a player at the time, when Ernie, not knowing what this guy does, just other than he's suspicious, when he would walk out on the field the way he's known to do during warm-ups and just cross his arms and look at you? Is that, I got to imagine, that is an unsettling moment as a player.
Yeah, no, it's he's a weird dude. I mean, he's just weird. Like, and, you know, you're talking about how many times there's these long hallways at Gillette Stadium, and you turn the corner to walk down the hall, and there's Ernie at the other end of the hall walking towards you, and you have like 5 seconds to kind of go, all right, is he going to say anything to me? Do I say hi to him? This is going to be an awkward little exchange, and it's kind of like it is the most awkward. We're walking up to it. Hey, Ernie, and he just, it's almost like he can barely even form a smile or even acknowledge that you walk by. And that's how he was with everybody. Just socially very, you know, just introverted, not a very engaging guy. Again, I never saw him talk to any player. So when Bill says he was a coach, I'm like, coach? I've never seen him, you know, talk to anybody other than you. How's he coaching? So it's a big mystery on what he did. No one really even knows. And I just thought it was kind of funny. I was getting a chuckle out of all this, you know, print and the attention he was getting, when clearly the only person that knows the value of what he brought to the table is Bill Belichick, because none of us ever saw any of that, the stuff that Bill talks about when he finally did retire last week.
Where was his office? I imagine it being like Milton from Office Space, like down in like the basement somewhere. Like, did you even know where they kept him?
Rich, no clue. I have no idea. Now, my feeling was it was probably right next to Bill's, right? It didn't. I don't know if it was the Seth Wickersham article that came out in 2017, where didn't the NFL go and investigate? Maybe it was after Spygate, and they went and they investigated, and they looked in his office for all these tapes and stuff. I just think he was the guy where, he was. What was the movie? With
the Wolf. He's the Wolf from Pulp Fiction, right? He kind of cleans up their shenanigans.
Yeah, I was thinking of Matt Damon's character where he was a CIA spy. He was Mother. His code name was Mother, and I forget what movie it was, but he was just the guy that was in the kind of the bowels of the building with all the information. Everything was locked in his office, and he never left. And that's kind of what I think Ernie was to Bill. It was just the guy that collected information and data, and he probably helped him with all the analytics side, the situational football, understanding trends and that kind of thing. And then probably the feeling was doing things to, get an edge and get a competitive edge. That was the feeling we got of what Ernie did. Other than that, nothing tangible, nothing we could see. Hardly ever saw him again at practice. You're right. Here's this guy with those blue blocker glasses on, with this fro and the porn star mustache, with your arm, with, just like you described, arms crossed, looking at you, not even smiling, won't even talk to you, and you're like, dude, what does that guy do? What does he think about me? And it's just we'll never know. We'll never know.
All right. Well, listen, it was very sad to see him go away.
I'm sure it was.
I mean, when he gave that final draft pick, I mean, I think we all had a tear in our eye.
Freddie, the one thing that Bill Belichick acknowledges, let me just ask you guys this. What's Ernie Adams' biggest contribution that you know of that you can, that is a tangible thing that you can point to that Bill has said had an impact on this organization?
Malcolm Butler, right? Drafting. He said that at the very end. He credited him for all of the great drafting moves, and that's why there's part of me might be why it's all done is because maybe of the drafting being called out by Robert Kraft.
Drafting, he did say that, but it's so vague and ambiguous.
But that's not tangible, right? It just says drafting. Like, what exactly did he do? You don't know, right?
They said specific players that he
player?
Picked out.
What player?
I got to find it. They actually
there's one. I love the guy. It's David Givens, right?
Remember? Yeah, that's right.
David Givens.
Well, you got to hang your hat on that. I mean,
but that's my point. It's like David Givens. Okay, I love David. David's my guy. But I mean, your entire 30-40 year existence, and it comes down to he helped bring in David Givens. Okay. I mean, he did a lot more than that, but that was kind of. I just thought that was interesting that was what he was being acknowledged for noticing David Givens. So. Again, the scouting, the drafting,
the cheating.
Nothing, the cheating. I'll never know exactly the impact. And so when it came to talking about Ernie Adams, the actual story at the end of the day is nobody knows other than Bill Belichick what exactly it was he brought to the table.
All right. Well, Ted Johnson, three-time Super Bowl winner.
Thank you, Freddie. Three times.
And
in the first three. I think we should acknowledge it was the first three. I think there's a distinction between the first three and those.
Where
the
defense matters.
Laid the groundwork.
Right. Exactly.
Cornerstone of the franchise.
Where defense matters. It wasn't all about Tom Brady.
Exactly.
When defense matter. All right, Ted, thank you so much, sir. We appreciate it. There you go. I'll listen about Ernie Adams all the time. It's funny hearing from a player, just like no one ever talked to him.
Well, the best was that every day when he was working that job in Wall Street, he would show up with a brown paper bag with the same lunch. It was like an apple, one bologna sandwich, and like an apple juice.
And I can guarantee you right now, I'm going to get an email from that guy, and he's going to be like, so what if he had a simple lunch? Some people like simple lunches. And I'll be like, dude, I swear to God, no one dislikes him. It's just funny that no one knows who he is. Well, I don't know. I went to Phillips Academy with him, and
I mean, there was the incident this past season where Bill Belichick grabbed the Ernie phone, which is the phone that's right there on the sidelines that's labeled Ernie, and threw it. Remember that? He got so angry that he threw the Ernie phone, and I'm wondering if that was a little bit of foreshadowing to how things ended.
We can only speculate. We can only wildly speculate on what Ernie Adams' role is, but I mean, it's just so Patriots that some dork was hanging around, and then you got to shrouded in all this mystery that this super genius lurks, but they couldn't let him talk to anyone because then it would let the cat out of the bag. When they, I see, part of me thinks now that if a book comes out, it's just going to be boring because there's going to be really nothing there. It was all Wizard of Oz. There was no, you know, grand wizard that was, I shouldn't say grand wizard. There's no big wizard that was, you know, behind the scenes. But someone will come out of it with a book someday, many years from now, about all the interworkings of the Patriots, and it should be fascinating. That I would like to hear. All right, Rich. You know what? There's so many of these. I'm going to play you some of these songs that I've cultivated.
Nice.
When we come back, there's plenty more where these came from. So I will have songs for you by MILF Man, and he is the MILF Man, and so much more.
Thatcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Thatcher and Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thinking of a master plan. Death with the record. Death with the record. Thinking of a master plan.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Thatcher and Rich. You know, about 10 years ago, we decided to do Funk Friday, so I cultivated a bunch of funk. Then I got sick of the funk, so I put a bunch of hip-hop songs in, and I haven't visited it since then. But, Rich, that doesn't mean that I can't be on the lookout for new hip-hop artists.
All right.
And sometimes it's just the way it is that a visual will draw you in. Okay, so I'm going to take you to a place in your mind.
Okay, all right.
Picture a man probably about the age of 22, 23, just a normal-looking fella.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you know, just a boy next door. Mm. And next to him is a woman think of like your sister's, your oldest sister's friend. Probably squirted out a couple kids, not in the best mood ever, and, you know, it's hard at that age to take the weight off. And
just, okay.
And then picture this 23-year-old pawing this, your sister's friend, while she just kind of stands there, disinterested. When I tell you, this might be the most normal-looking woman in a video of all time. In fact, if I was to have sex with this woman, I can safely say she'd be the heaviest woman I've ever had sex with. But I will take you to the work of the MILF Man. Now, the MILF Man, Rich, was able to get this woman to stand there so he could touch her butt.
But that's his, that is the artist's name, is MILF Man?
Yeah, he's capitalizing on the MILF craze.
Okay.
You know, I
thought the movement was done. I thought it was over.
Yeah, but I mean, but I'm 46. I mean, who am I to say? I mean, I would be a MILF if I was a woman. I'd be almost a GILF.
I'm just leaning on your expertise in this matter.
Because you have to realize in the world of MILFs, it's almost like a religious cultish in that you're a GILF by the age of 44.
Oh, okay.
43, 44, you're in GILF territory. Okay. So a MILF could easily be in their, late 20s, early 30s.
Got it.
I mean, it's all the same if you're, you know, a 19-year-old guy fantasizing about it. There's many machinations to the MILF movement. I don't have time to educate you. Come take my course if you have any more questions.
Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But this is the rap stylings of the MILF Man.
She's on. My palm is on her ass. I'm the MILF Man, bitch, that's a fact. I'm the MILF Man, I'm the MILF Man, I'm the MILF Man, bitch, that's a fact. I'm the MILF Man, I'm the MILF Man, I'm the MILF Man, bitch, that's a fact. Girls my age are the worst, moms are reversed.
Okay, so girls his age are the worst, moms are reversed, meaning moms are the best.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what older women love? To be called bitch.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I watch a lot of these MILF movies, and they seem to like it.
The MILF man, bitch. I'm like, all right.
Well, he is the MILF man. And he'll tell you how I know is he's got about a 35-year-old fatso with him. So I'll tell you that's the case. In about a $20 dress. So he obviously. And what's funny is this kid obviously has money. Mm-hmm. Like, he's from somewhere with money. And the idea that he couldn't wrangle some other butter chick to come in and be in the video is really not appealing. I mean, even in my wildest younger fantasies of really doing any woman at all, this would not be a fantasy of mine at all.
Girls my age are the worst. Moms are reversed. My been cursed, bitch. My been cursed. Yoga, body, 36. She's a five-star hottie. I'm busting rounds off like Gotti. Shot, I got her eye. Double D ass like Kim Kardashian's. Cars passing, moans are blasting. Your mom, your mom. She's on. My palm is on her ass. I'm the milkman, bitch. That's a fact.
So that is hello to every Friday morning milkman.
Milkman mornings?
Yes. He's actually taking over for Wallach.
Did I tell you I saw an old dude? I think it was like last summer. There was an old dude around here who had a shirt that said MILF real big on it. And the closer you got to him, it said in small letters, "Man, I love fishing."
What? Oh, okay.
Oh, Jesus. But from a distance, it was just an old dude with a MILF. I'm wondering if he was so old that I'm wondering if he actually knew what the term MILF meant and thought that it was just a cool fishing shirt.
All right. Well, this one is, I believe, another rap one. And to tell you about this, this is a guy, and he's sitting by the pool. Okay. And he's letting you know that there are some bikini-clad ladies that
all
are
right.
about to make their presence felt.
Chair, get on your feet, get bumping to the beat, bump it on the floor, show them what you got, no more gabbing, cause you got a lot, bump, bump,
bump, bump. Did Paul Stanley start a rap career? I mean, because the lyrics are about the level of what you would expect off the Destroyer album.
When I'm dancing, all I know is I want to bump the rump.
Hello, bump the rump! I just was like, I really love you, baby. Love what you got.
I love
Let's get
what
together.
You got.
Let's
yeah,
get hot. I mean, this is like this guy's truly just going for it.
Guy in hot rum. Hello. Would you like to be a ghostwriter on the new Kiss album?
Probably not. I don't think I would. Michael, what's his name? Michael Bolton has already been taken.
MILF man, get out of here!
All right, here we go. More bump, right. More bump the rump. It's the new, dance craze. Bump rump, bump the rump. Bump, 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 bump the rump.
Hey, you better sitting in that chair. Get on your feet, or get bumping to the beat. Bump it on the floor, show them what you got.
Which makes me think everyone in Alabama can afford a pool. Like, the pools of no consequence. They cost like $10.
No more gabbing, because you got a lot. Bump, 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 a rump. Bump, bump, bump that rump. Bump, 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 a rump. Bump, bump, bump that rump. Now your body's hot. Make it last such a treat.
All right, now, beat and treat have never been rhymed before, but this guy is so confident, at no point in this dance song does he ever get out of his chair.
Okay.
So he might have bumped the rump a little too hard before this and got himself a Charlie horse.
I can't rap. That's all right. Just say words exactly over the keyboard line.
This is a butt that can't be beat. Bump, 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 really the rump. Neat. I want everyone singing for the rest of the weekend. Bump, 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 the rump.
Well, listen, it's no Laffy Taffy, but it's close.
Three, bump, bump, bump that rump.
He's like a heterosexual Fred from B-52s. Bump, bump that bump. Rump.
Bump it to the beat now.
This would be a big video. Bump, bump, bump it. Bump it to the beat.
They need to inject some B-52s into this. Some then, vitamin B-52, and all of a sudden you got a hit.
Then I bump, 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 bump it to the rump. It actually works.
It would totally work.
Except this guy's just like, bump it, bump it.
Big or small, just bump, bump on. Bump, bump on. Bump so hard, bump.
He seemed to get confused at the end about where the music was going. Because it's kind of just a free-for-all of... Oh, so there you go.
By the way, I accidentally pressed on the demo key twice.
Yeah, he seemed to get a little confused about where it was going. By the way, why, when every time they show Tim Tebow on TV, does he have to be wearing a Jets uniform? Is that like he played a lot for them? I mean, why they didn't draft him? Why does he always... I remember where I was when I got texted he was a Jet. I was at Disney World. Yeah. I remember where I was. I was waiting for a tram at Disney World. So, but why do they keep showing him in a Jets uniform? He didn't play that much there.
Should be Denver. Should be.
Yeah.
That's where he starred.
Let them
Should
take
be Denver.
The blame.
I know that there was a Patriots Tim Tebow t-shirt that I saw that they made immediately on sale at the Star Market. I remember when I went to the Star Market, and there was a rack, and they don't sell clothes, but there was one rack of shirts that happened to be near the front, and it was a Tim Tebow Patriots shirt.
You know who had a Tim Tebow shirt on?
Hey, you there, sitting in that chair. Get on.
I'm in a chair.
Yeah.
Wait, you want me to get off my feet and start bumping to the beat?
Bah.
Well, so say you, Orida. I don't know what your deal is with the whole thing. All right, well, listen, at one point, everyone get on their feet and bump it to the beat. All right.
Ba-do-zap.
No, it's not jazz. This is hip hop.
Mm. Bump it on the floor. Show them what you got. Bah. No more gabbing, because you got a lot.
Hey, all right, and no more gabbing. No more gabbing.
Ba-do-zap.
No more gabbing, because you got a lot. Hey there, you, sitting in your seat. Get up and dance to the bump and beat. Bump it to the right. Bump it to the left. Bump, bump, bump. Alrighty, you go next. Okay. All right, Rich, what is coming up? We have the stat coming up.
Well, Fred, you're going to need to find another place to get your baseball cards. Kendrick Perkins isn't backing down, and we have the most overhyped TV shows of the pandemic.
It's funny. As soon as the temperature raised above 55 degrees, I've not looked at a baseball card. It's amazing how that works.
Was it predicted? Of course it was.
Yeah, well, also, I have, like, for real, other than sleeping, I have absolutely no time. But we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Live the Sports Hub. Touch your
tails.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack it up.
985, the Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. Get on your feet and bump it to the beat.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, what's going on?
Well, where you might be feeling extremely confident going into this Bruins postseason, I don't know why you wouldn't, the way that they've been playing. It's almost the exact opposite, the way that most people are feeling, as am I, about the Boston Celtics. Things just couldn't be any worse going into this postseason, and it looks like they are now locked into the seventh spot because the Pacers and the Hornets both lost last night. So they will host either Charlotte, Indiana, or Washington Tuesday night at the Garden. If they win, they're in the playoffs as the seventh seed. And if they lose, they host the 9-10 winner for the eighth seed. Kendrick Perkins, who has been very critical of this team as of late, and even said that he had heard that the players were, what was the term he used, John, about Marcus Smart? He had run his course.
Yes, that's right.
All right. Well, here is Kendrick Perkins yesterday on his, he just got an extension on ESPN. Here's what he had to say about the Celtics.
Well, to be honest, from watching them last night, they really don't care. Honestly, and to be honest, some of the others around them are really just not good. Like, and they don't match the level of other role players that are considered contenders. When you look at guys like Shimmy Ogilvy and Grant Williams and, you know, those type of guys, and even I don't want to say Tristan Thompson, but he's not the Tristan Thompson of old. He still have the hustle in him. But to be honest, they just don't match up well. They're not athletic, and it's crazy because they're young, but they play so old.
There's one great that is, God, he is so good. He calls them out by their names, which I love. There's no vagueness. He goes, oh, who am I talking about? Grant Williams.
Well, that's what happens when you have late round first round picks. I mean, you get Grant Williams, who again was good at Tennessee, but that's a system, and he's a system player, and he's not big enough or athletic enough to succeed in the NBA. I mean, that's the way it is. You know that. And the thing is Danny had to grit his teeth and take these guys. And I knew Grant Williams wouldn't give you an MVP. He's not, look at him. I mean, just look at his body. He can't. He could be your 11th guy. I mean, I guess he could stick around a team. But he doesn't have the skill. They draft, and they had a million draft picks that they ended up keeping. And not to get non-premier players, and that's what happens.
Here's why the Eastern Conference is just so ridiculous right now, is because not only do you have, you know, the two teams that most people expect to do the most damage in the 76ers and, of course, the Brooklyn Nets, but you've got Milwaukee, who on paper should be great, and then you have two teams that couldn't be going into the postseason with more momentum in the New York Knicks and the Miami Heat. So, I mean, it's just like everybody above you is just either better than you or has been playing so much better than you that you don't seem to have a shot.
Well, the Heat are both. Yeah, I mean, there's four teams in the East that you can't beat. I mean, there's four teams. I mean, five
only,
teams.
Only
there's five.
Four?
There's five teams that you could never.
The five I just named right there. Yeah, I think are
you
ones.
See
that,
what you see? What Miami did to Philadelphia last night? Philadelphia had a lot to play for too. But the Heat beat them by double digits.
Yeah.
The Heat are focused right now, and they obviously you can't match up with them. You don't. And Tristan Thompson is the reason. You got Tristan Thompson to match up with Adebayo.
It's like the main reason you got him. He was the Bam stopper because of how embarrassed you got in the Eastern Conference Finals. And there's none of that now.
The only guy they drafted outside of, you know, lottery that, and I don't know if he might have been late lottery, is Romeo Langford, that I thought was of any potential, but he can't play. I mean, he's constantly hurt.
Yeah, Pritchard's been solid. Yeah, he's been good.
Pritchard is whatever. Pritchard is what he is. I mean,
he was a good draft. He was a good draft pick.
Yeah, but it's not a good place to draft. So Pritchard is a guy that you add to a team that's got nine players on it that you feel good about, and you go, oh, here's the, we'll add Pritchard and he can come in if we absolutely need Pritchard. If you're starting a team and you could draft a team, a guy like Pritchard's your 10th or 11th pick.
We also don't know what Robert Williams is yet. That's the other thing, too.
A pretty good idea. He's never going to have an offensive game, and he's injury-prone because he's so heavy.
When he's healthy, he's great, though.
When he's healthy, he's a good defensive player.
Here's the thing, Rich, and I agree with Fred up to a point. Where the Patriots, where the Celtics are drafting, they have gotten great bench help. Peyton Pritchard is going to be a solid bench player. Aaron Nesmith,
a back of the rotation
is
bench player.
He's going to be, both of those guys will be anywhere from 6 to 10 in a good team's rotation.
Peyton Pritchard would never be a 6 in a good team's rotation. Never in a million years.
Okay, 6 to 10.
Yeah, all right. I mean, well, that's a pretty large swath, Rich.
Well, he's thinking J.J. Barea. You know,
my point
is
they'll
six,
never
you know
start
I mean?
For a good team. They'll be bench players. That was my only point, regardless mm-hmm. of where you slot them in. Mm-hmm. Robert Williams, and I agree with Fred here, I think what we've seen from Robert Williams, I don't see that guy developing a three-point shot or knocking down 20-footers in his career. He is what he is, a very good rim protector that can run the floor, mm-hmm. but you're 4-on-5 at the offensive end. His offense will be on dunks and putbacks.
Yep.
I mean, that's the thing. I don't
DeAndre
think he's
Jordan.
Ever, he's right. Actually,
best case scenario.
That's true. But guys like DeAndre Jordan are dinosaurs in the NBA. All centers in the NBA that are any good can step out and knock down threes on a regular basis.
And look at the kids
this
that are coming
kid
out.
Will never do that.
Look at the seven-footers that are coming out in the draft that are going to be lottery picks. I mean, it's insane.
From day one, they've been shooting the three.
Yes.
Because the game was
handle the ball.
The game was in that place when they started playing basketball.
Look at Jokic. Look at Bam Adebayo. Look at Joel Embiid. I mean, all these guys can make three-point shots on a consistent basis. Yep. That's the thing. If you want to be a really good NBA team, borderline great championship caliber, Anthony Davis, you have to have a five that can block shots if he needs to, but also step out and knock down 4 out of 10 threes.
And so bump the rump.
And bump the rump, yes.
You know, of course. Which is kind of the cue to bump the rump when you hear that. You have to do that. Conor McGregor tops Forbes' list of the 10 highest-paid athletes of 2021. He earned $158 million.
Learn to talk.
Outside of the octagon. It's not even talking. It's like he ended up getting that money from selling his stakes in his proper 12 whiskey.
The only reason he's famous is because he's so great at talking. I mean, there's a million guys in the UFC that are better, and they just can't talk.
At one point, there was not, and that's what made him like such a perfect representative for the UFC. It's what made him stars, because you knew about him talking before you knew about him fighting, and then you'd watch him because he was such a great trash talker, and then he backed it up for about two, three years. The guy just killed
you. Don't
dudes.
Make millions and millions of dollars in endorsements from anything you do in a UFC ring. You make it all from talking.
True. That you do it from being able, and if you can do both, that's like Conor did, then
well,
all Conor, of a sudden you're that guy.
Well, listen, he can't fight. He sucks now, and he's the highest paid athlete.
McGregor figured it out. There have been plenty of guys who talked in MMA. I remember we had a guy, Shale Sonnen, in studio.
But that was,
he was great, but he couldn't do it otherwise.
Well, the problem with him is that he was too old. He got into it when it was just at its very beginnings.
Yeah, Conor's timing was perfect. So he made $22 million for his UFC 252 fight, which was pretty big. He lost that one, but he still made $22 million. But the $158 that he made million was because he sold his stake in Proper 12 Irish Whiskey. That puts him at the top of the most money made by an athlete in 2021. At number two, Lionel Messi with $130 million. That's pretty huge if you're not a soccer player and you're number one on this list.
Yeah.
So good for Conor
McGregor.
Like
a Formula One driver. Those guys are always sneaky on this
list. Oh, I know that.
Always.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah, always on this list. Cristiano Ronaldo, he comes in with $120 million. Dak Prescott making the list at number four with $107 million.
Brilliant move
made
by Jerry.
We'll see how that pays
Where's
off.
Where's Neymar?
Neymar's number six, okay. 95. LeBron James squeaks by and makes just a tiny bit more.
Where's Orida?
6.5. Orida. Well, she didn't want to be on the list. Roger Federer at number seven with $90 million. Lewis Hamilton,
he's the F1 driver we were just talking about. That's Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was I don't know who that is, but there's always an F1 driver.
No, he dominates the sport. Yeah. He wins everything. Man,
where's the disc golf guy? Where's the YouTube sensation? Where's he on this list? Probably somewhere near, just out of the top 10. Brady with $76 million and Kevin Durant coming in at $75 million. And speaking of Brady and collectibles, and we talked about the football that his first touchdown pass, that's going for, I think, what did I say, 91,000 it was up to already? Well, one thing that Fred has been a big investor in is these baseball cards, and he's been selling them and going through the stashes. You said you kind of laid off of them for a while since the weather's been nice.
I haven't touched them since the weather's been nice.
Well, if you're looking to add to your stash of baseball, basketball, NFL, or Pokemon trading cards, don't head to your local Target. They have decided that they are going to no longer sell them
after
there was a violent confrontation last week in a Target parking lot.
Yeah, because my friend has a kid that is into cards, and like on Sundays they would just like go to Target to go buy cards, and you can't. There's apparently people spend the night out in front of Target to get cards. And I'm not making that up. It's funny that you bring this up. Apparently, like the guy at Target, they don't advertise here, I guess, acted like my friend was the biggest a-hole in the world for having the audacity to ask if they had baseball cards. Like, he's like, well, don't you know? Well, there's like whatever day baseball cards come out, I don't even know. Whatever day it is, and it's a weekday, dudes will like line up like before Target opens.
It's like when Nikes go on sale. I used to live by a shoe place right down the street near downtown, and there was a line of, well, Nike Town too. There was always a line of like 200 people whenever new Nikes would come out.
Yeah.
It's probably the same thing.
And my friend was like, how the hell was I supposed to know that? Like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Well,
you're talking down to me because I didn't know that losers stay in line for baseball cards? All right.
Well, this happened in Wisconsin last week. They say a 35-year-old man was assaulted by four others in a fight over sports trading cards, leading the victim, who had a concealed carry permit, to pull out his gun during the assault. Now, no shots were fired.
That's the dream. Four guys come after you, and you just put, and you go, I got a license for this. Here we go. Where are you going to go? What's going on now?
That never ends poorly for the person who pulls out the gun.
Well, listen, you pull out the gun, they don't have guns. Listen.
What if they do have guns?
Well, then you got it. Well, then they were going to kill you anyway. You can shoot them first. You pull out your gun. Listen, if four guys go to assault you and you have a concealed weapon and you can pull it out, and it worst case scenario, you kill a guy.
How about don't take your concealed gun to go buy baseball cards at Target?
But the guy got assaulted before he had to brandish his weapon.
Because they were fighting over baseball cards.
Yeah, but
like dummies, big 35-year-old dummies.
I know, but if four guys jumped him, what if he pulled some expensive card, and then the four guys jumped him for it and started like beating him up?
Apparently not what happened. It was just fighting over a box, and they were grabbing it. One guy tried to grab it, and then the other guy tried to grab it. And
it sounds like the guy with the gun won.
Well, I don't know if anybody won, because apparently he ended up having some minor injuries, but it was enough for Target. He ruined it for everyone. So now you can't go to Target to go get your Pokemon cards. So no Charizards for you, my friend.
That's a shame.
So during the pandemic,
that's it for the show.
There you go.
All right, Rich is in on Monday.
Hey,
I can't wait to smooch you guys right on the cheek. Smooch you right in the cheek.
He's full coming. Voltron in studio, baby.
He's going to be on, they call it the mainland.
Attaboy. Be good to see you.
Yes.
And
that's a ferry leaving.
He's got to.
tomorrow night.
He's got to adjust back to city life.
Yeah, Rich.
Not going to be easy.
Effing wait.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see.
Dude, I've lived above like a bar for 20 years, the last 20 years of my life. I'm really looking forward to it.
I don't doubt it. All right, that'll do it for us. Look out, East Lyme, Connecticut, because it's about to get real fun. All right, that's going to do it for us. Everyone, have a great weekend. Bye.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.